I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time.
Few will remember us. It's a hard thing to accept, but few will remember us. Thousands have sat in these seats before, and thousands will sit into them after we are gone. What will be remembered are the policies that we pass and the lives that we have changed. And while perhaps they should, no one will remember a woman from the panhandle who overcame unspeakable horrors to end up on this floor. But we will preserve and remember the worst example of what government can do to children because she picked up that sword.
This is Randy Fine giving his farewell speech for the House of Representatives in Tallahassee. And though he did not mention any of the examples he gave by name, the woman he was talking about was our own state representative, District 1, Michelle Salzman, who joins us now by phone. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, thanks. And that was a pleasant surprise.
I told her when we were talking on the phone right before I had her on the air that I had a surprise for her. I wasn't going to tell her what it was, but obviously she was in the room when Randy made the comments, but I thought that was a very fine speech, and to mention her that way, and well deserved. I mean, your work on the Dozier School, well deserved. And I will admit that this is an issue that I knew at a distance, and I still don't feel like I fully understand all of the horrific things that went on there. But you fought for this and got what, $20 million, I think, for the Victims Compensation Fund. Is that right?
Yeah, $20 million, and all of the victims will get a diploma now. They, when they attended Dozier, which was supposed to be a school that you would graduate from, they didn't give kids diplomas. Mm. They just used them as workers. You know, it was a slave encampment, if you wanted to, you know, really know what it was. And so they would go there and they would work, and the state would use their labor to do crops or whatever, and then reap the benefits, and then those children would get abused, and then either they would die in captivity or be released eventually with no, they had some skills that they got from the work that they were doing, whatever that was, but they didn't really, they never got their diploma. So that was a part of it. And the Secretary of Education was actually more than thrilled when we asked them if he'd be willing to do that. And we're working on doing a graduation ceremony with Manny Diaz and the victims that are still living towards the end of the year. So yeah, we got them to $20 million. It was a huge lift. Nobody had ever been able to do it before. And I love challenges like that. So when my friend Troy Rafferty said, "Hey Michelle, can you just put this in bill drafting?" I clicked file, and he was just like, "What? I didn't mean for you to do that." And I said, "Well, here we go."
You don't have to ask twice. I love that. What, for people who don't know, and that partially includes me, where was the Dozier School geographically, and why did people wind up there? Were these orphans? Were they, you know, handicapped in some way, mentally or physically challenged? I just don't know enough of the history.
It's right up the road.
It was right up the road. Sorry, where?
Yeah, in Marianna.
Marianna, okay.
Yeah, so it was more for the impoverished and the lower level class of folks. Basically, it started out as a great idea. It was going to be a reform school where you could send your children if they were, you know, bad, and then these boys, they would learn how to behave, and they would just learn how to be men. That was the whole thing. They'd learn all of these life skills, and of course, learn, you know, the stuff you would learn in school, and then they were supposed to leave better men. And unfortunately, it was only the only kids that were sent there were the ones that were foster kids or displaced children or children from poor families. And there were stories. I remember in committee, people would show up. They would see the bill and they would just show up. We didn't know they were coming, not rehearsed at all. And one lady was like, you know, my mom was so excited whenever he got accepted into the Dozier School when he had skipped school so many times. She thought that this was going to be the moment that he was going to learn how to be a man. And he came back. He was not the same. Within, you know, moments, he was in prison for a hard crime, for felonies. And he's never been the same since. And he's been in and out of prison, and he wouldn't talk about what happened at Dozier, you know. So parents were like really excited about sending their kids here, thinking that their kids were going to get reformed. And it took a long time for people to really start seeing that something was going on there. And even whenever they got complaints, the school didn't close until 2011. 2011.
That's unbelievable.
11. Like my youngest, who's 13, could have gone to Dozier. Like it's that recent in history. We kept it open for over 100 years. So even with the atrocities going on, we knew it was happening, and we just kept empowering it and sending more and more kids. There were times whenever they wouldn't have enough boys doing the work because the boys would either have been released or have died. So they would do a call to action in the communities and say, we need more kids. So they would start just picking up kids for smoking in the hallway or whatever. So they would make the thing they did wrong to be so minimal because they just needed bodies to do the work.
And
they needed to perform X amount.
And you, I mean, you know, you've been talking about the work issue, but, you know, beatings, rape, abuse, torture, murder.
That's how they got them to work.
A 100 graves in the, I mean, it's an unbelievable, it's the kind of story that if they made a movie, you wouldn't believe it was so awful, but it really was.
They actually have movies. They have lots of documentaries on it. So they would pull the boys out of their cots in the middle of the night, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, it didn't matter, and take them to what's called the White House, and they would strap them down, and they would beat them with leather straps. And the leather straps weren't just a leather strap. They would have metal studs on them, and they would beat them until their legs were partially hanging off. You know, like they would just beat them to nothing, and if they screamed, they would start the beating over again. And then they would rape them. They would make some of the boys, they would dress up as women and drag them into the woods and rape them and gang rape them. And if the boys would die, they would just bury them, and they never told their parents. The parents had no idea what happened to the children.
This is why, like, again, you know, I had only followed this at a distance, but every time I learn something new about it, it's so horrifying to imagine, as you said, that it even continued into it fairly recently. We're talking to Michelle Salzman. So again, kudos to you for pushing this bill and getting the funding for it. One of the other bills you got done in conjunction with Sheriff Bob Johnson was the HB 341 that allows people to voluntarily designate on their motor vehicle registration that they have somebody in their family who might have special needs. So cops will know that when they're approaching the car, right?
Yeah, it was interesting because Big Ange, Angela Nandon from Santa Rosa County, she and I met at an event with the First Lady over a year ago, and she kept following up with the governor, and she was like, we need to do this designation on these tags, and the governor told her, you need to go see Representative Salzman. And so she just, like, she was on a pursuit for me. She just kept saying, I need you to carry this bill. The governor says so, and I'm just like, okay. All right, we'll sit down and talk. And I serve on the board for Autism Pensacola. I've done things for disabled every single year I've been in office, like big things. And so I'm disabled myself, so I'm always an advocate. So she tells me this idea, and I'm like, well, that's got to be easy. What's the big deal about that? So we filed the bill to get – basically it would say only in the registry that the cops see, not that anybody else would know.
Right.
But when you pull it up, it tells you things about the person in the car, and it would just have said – schizophrenia, nonverbal autism. But we got so much pushback from so many people saying, you can't do that. You're creating a registry. So we just came up with this, and I don't remember who or what, but whoever it was in our process, because it was a fight, they said, why don't we just put the word SAFE, because it's the SAFE Act, on as the identifier. And that way it just says whoever's in the car, there could be potentially something. So it gives the first responder a heads up. But I had a hard time getting the bill agendaed on the first committee stop because people just didn't understand, and we've never been able to do this before in history. Apparently, people have been trying for decades, and it just didn't work. So I had called Bob Johnson, and I said, hey, can you call your people in your district and tell them that they need to put pressure? And then I went to Danny Perez, Speaker-designate, and I said, Danny, I need you to take this bill and resurrect it from the dead. It's so important to me. I need this from you. Not only did he do that, the bill made it through all three committees within a week. He put his name on it as a co-sponsor, and he didn't put his name on any other bills the entire session, but he did. And I'll tell you why. Danny joined the legislature because his brother is severely disabled, and he couldn't get the resources for him. And he said, well, if the state won't do it, I'm going to go make them do it. So that's what drove him to be in the legislature. So our speaker-designate is just so passionate about the disabled that it was an easy lift for him to say, oh, I'll come in and save the day. So we, you know, Big Ange pushed real hard. She brought that sheriff up there several times, and he spoke in committees, and he called all the sheriffs in Florida. And if you had a sheriff, or if you were on that committee, your specific sheriff gave you a personal phone call and told you, you need to support this bill.
Oh, wow. That's effective leadership, man. That's great.
He was a man. Bob Johnson was the real hero. He just jumped in there and just started just pushing through. When he heard somebody didn't like the bill, he called their sheriff and said, you call your member and you tell them they better vote for this bill. It was so wild. I was like, wow. Okay. And then he's like, we need to do another bill here. I was like, okay, sir.
We'll do. You're the speaker designated. We'll see. Hey, one thing I wanted to ask you about before we run out of time, Michelle, is I know you had been a big advocate for the term limits bill, HB 57. It wound up not succeeding this year because of disagreements in the version between the House and the Senate and a variety of factors. I have said this on the air, and I think you know I've said this, but I want to make sure that I don't go without saying it to you personally, is I like the idea of county-by-county referendum. I favor that because if it really is massive support for this, then you should pass it, and if any county wants to opt out, let them opt out. That'd be my approach instead of the make it a law for everybody regardless of what the county wants. Are you open to that way? I think it was that was the Senate's way of doing it.
It's not without diming anybody out, that would not work. It would not make it through the process. It would not get signed. That was a hard stop for people above my pay grade. So it will be filed again next year as an 8-year. We were disagreeing on a couple of things, the 12 versus 8. And I'm kind of indifferent on the 8 versus 12. I like 8, but I would have settled for 12. But people well above pay grade said that bill will not pass. So it had to be 8. and it couldn't be a referendum. So, and no carve outs either. Like that was really upsetting me. There were some senators that wanted carve outs for small communities. And my saying is, if you need a carve out, you don't need a government. You know, I'm not trying to be ugly, but we don't need to have government for government. But I would have done it if that would have been something the governor would have signed and the Senate would have passed, but and the House, and that was still a no. They don't want that. They don't want to make exceptions. So we're going to bring it back the same way it came in this year. And from my understanding, it will be on the top list of priorities for the leadership of all branches of government. And I think that we'll have better success next year. But even if we don't, I'll carry it anyway. I'm just so passionate about it. And it's nothing against my county commissioners. I get along with all of them. It's just, you know, you can't keep putting the same people in there. There's no opportunity for new voices, new messages. The right. Same people are going to get the same contracts. And I think that government should not be operating stagnantly. I think we should have fresh ideas. And so we'll bring it back next year. And if it's a waste of time again, it's a waste of time again. But I know it's what my people want. I have polled them time and again. It's one of their top priorities. So I'm there to represent them, and I'll continue to keep fighting.
Well, and that's, of course, that's the reason why I favor the referendum, because I do think it'll pass pretty much everywhere. And I also agree with you. Carve outs for small counties is a silly argument. You know, we can't muster two people in the whole county to run for a particular seat. Michelle Salzman is our state representative for District 1. That's the northern, about 3/4 of the geography of Escambia County. Michelle, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for serving in Tallahassee. And we will talk to you again soon. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.